You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Labour MP Andrew Little joined me from Australia, actually, this week. Yeah, that's right, Mary Margaret, all the way over the ditch where they've got some fucked shit going on with their politics. We're not as good as you. We talked about the sentencing for drug-related offences and also a possible victim-focused justice summit, because there were some criticisms of the justice summit that was held last week. Here is Andrew.
There have been some criticisms that the justice summit held last week didn't see enough input from victims of crime. What are your thoughts on this?
No, I don't accept that. I think victims of crime were well represented through good advocates and through people who were there. Certainly, one of the people stood up and made a point that they, aspects of the summit that they didn't think were very good for them, and indeed for others, but actually I acknowledged that and said it was important that they were there. It was important that we have a summit where all those who are involved in the criminal justice system are together, but there's also scope for different parts to meet together, so that's why I committed to supporting a separate kind of victims dialogue of victims discussion, so we'll have that. As with Māori as well, Māori said it would be helpful to them to meet as Māori and draw on the various organisations they come from and talk about what they can contribute to reform of the criminal justice system. So I think, with 700 people there, drawn from all parts of the system, of course there were always going to be tension, but what actually I think was good was everybody got, to say things that needed to be said, got it all out there. Everybody knows what the issues right across the system are from a range of different perspectives, and I think that's been very helpful.
I mean, if you were to have a sort of separate victims-focused summit, would this be quite different to the one you had last week, where there were calls for prison abolition?
I'm not sure anybody has called for prison abolition, but it is a different way of approaching how you deal with offenders. And it's interesting, Jane, who was the one who stood up and expressed her kind of personal view and feeling about how she felt during the course of the summit, went on to say, when she dealt with the chap who had assaulted her violently and murdered her child, said how years later a restorative justice approach, where she got to meet the guy, was one of the most helpful things that happened to her. So I think now what she reflected was the experience I think that a lot of victims go through, which is that people are traumatised by offending against them and naturally have to deal with that and the consequences of offending against them. And I think the state can do a lot more to support people in that situation. But in the end, what do we want? We want people who have offended to stop offending, and we want and to get some understanding. And I think even she supported that with her contribution to the summit. So the victims and the advocates and representatives, they'll get together and they'll be able to formulate in an environment that I think they'll find more comfortable for them, the things that they can contribute to reform of criminal justice. And look, we need that. We need all voices.
Do you think there's a worry that groups like the Sensible Sentencing Trust, who have a fairly hardline stance, could try and control the discourse?
Well, I mean, the Sensible Sentencing Trust were there at the Criminal Justice Summit. I met some of their people. They expressed their great appreciation to me, A, for being there, and B, for having a different stream of work for them, for victims. But I think the debate has changed compared to what it was 20 or 30 years ago. I think more New Zealanders are saying, well, we need something more constructive. We can't just keep locking more and more people up and it not changing our reoffending rates, not changing our offending. So I think people are open to more constructive solutions. And that doesn't mean to say that in doing that, you ignore the remaining needs of victims and better support that we can provide them.
And moving on, there's been a lot of talk recently about sort of liberalising marijuana laws, and much of the prison population is made up of people serving sentences for drug-related offences. And there's sort of little evidence that fairly long sentences for these have a much of a deterrent factor. Will this government be looking at possibly reforming the sentences around drug crimes?
There's two things there. One is on cannabis and liberalisation of cannabis. We have a referendum on that. That's part of the supply confidence and supply agreement we have with the Green Party, and we're working together, putting together what the referendum will look like in terms of timing and an education program to go with it. So that work is all underway now. But in terms of the question about the number of people in prison on drug offences, let's remember that a lot of the drug, I guess the drug-related offending, so there are a lot of people in prison who have either pushed meth in massive quantities onto people, or they have committed crimes while on meth or other drugs, usually violent crimes. And so the prison sentence relates to the violence they've committed, although the underlying factor is an addiction to a drug, usually meth. I think we can do a lot better in terms of those who have committed violent offences while under the influence of drugs. Usually they've got an addiction, and we should be dealing with that addiction. That therefore, you know, then removes the impetus to commit violent offences. So I think I see the two aspects. There aren't many people who are in prison offences related to cannabis, at least to using it, possibly to harvesting and selling, but most of those in prison on drug offences are more serious related offences.
So you feel that they are fairly long sentences if you're dealing drugs. Do you think these are fine? Because there's very little evidence that they do have a deterrent factor. These people will just go and reoffend no matter how long the sentence.
Yeah, I think Justice Matthew Palmer made that point in court recently in some sentencing notes. Said he was yet to be convinced that just longer sentences for those with drug-related offending is going to help. And I think he's referring to plenty of research and science to say that. I think that is a relevant factor. But I think the issue about the debate about liberalising cannabis and the laws around cannabis, I think it shouldn't be confused with how the criminal justice system responds to violent offending, whether it's drug-driven or driven for other reasons.
So, do you feel this government is still treating drug use as a criminal rather than a health issue?
Well, we haven't made many changes in that regard, so we are still, very much focused on, punitive responses. Obviously more we can do and more we should be doing to deal with the health effects or the health dimension of drug use. And look, we've got the mental health and addiction review underway. My expectation is, I think the other ministers, that that will lead to some different approaches to it. And then I think what we do in criminal justice, particularly when we actually have a debate about liberalising cannabis, let's see what comes out of that. But I think that those two things have the potential to change the dynamic and change the public debate about the way we approach drugs more generally.
So there could be further discussion from the cannabis referendum about other drugs?
Yeah, the focus in the confidence and supply agreement is just about cannabis. That's what the debate will be when we get that underway. But there will be those who will say, look, why stop there? You look at Portugal, you look at Uruguay, you look at what other countries.
They do. I mean, looking at these countries, because they do have sort of reduced crime and drug use once they decriminalise drugs. And would this not be a good way to effectively reduce the prison population?
Yeah, I think they changed their approach to drugs. In Portugal, it's still a criminal thing to supply drugs and what have you. So it's not a pure decriminalisation. What it is was a different, recognising that drug use was increasing dramatically. There were other underlying factors to it. They addressed the underlying factors, and they saw a reduction in drug use and therefore drug harm. And sure, of course, we should be looking to see what happened there, but we'll move at a pace that suits New Zealand.
Do you feel you're possibly constrained by New Zealand First, who might take a more conservative attitude to drug reform?
Well, in the end, we operate in the political system, and we've got to work with every aspect of it. We have a commitment, which is now a government commitment, to have a referendum on liberalisation of cannabis. We'll do that. The public debate that will lead up to that referendum will invariably, I expect, span wider than just cannabis use. So let's see where that takes us.
Do you think, if you were governing alone, there might be More liberal conversation than in this current government?
Look, it's too hard to say. We are who we are. We are the government that we are, and you know we deal with what we've got. I think there is a willingness right across government to reduce the cost to the state in terms of law enforcement and in terms of drug harm to want to do better than what we're doing at the moment. And therefore, we can't avoid a discussion about our kind of drug law regime. We're starting that process, but look, we do it in the context that we've got, and it is what we've got at the moment.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.